Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It is Friday, July 14th, 2017. This is the 4-4 program on CBSinteractive.com. My name is Jeff Bacalar. Thank you so much for joining us. To my right, Russ Frushtick.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm lovely. It's raining, though. Makes me sad.
You know, you say lovely a lot, and I just...
Do I? Yeah, I say lovely a lot?
You do. Been meaning to talk to you about it. That's why I've brought Vinny Caravella.
Giant Bomb. No, is this an intervention?
Yes. This is an intervention.
Oh, no.
I'm Vinny from Giant Bomb, Russ, CBS Interactive.
These are not microphones. These are calls for help.
Wow.
And you need some of that because you say the word lovely too much.
But what context do I use it in?
You just use it like so willy-nilly. It's not a word you can just throw around like that.
Why? It's not like fantastic or amazing.
And you're
lovely is like a B plus.
Like, who says love? Do you ever say lovely, Vinny?
I'm confused because Russ, didn't we bring Jeff in here for his intervention?
Yeah,
you can't intervention an intervention.
He's way too critical.
I know. He's always judging people's word choices.
Oh,
yeah,
whoa.
We kind of wanted to talk to you about
the tables. They've been turned.
And you've always been having interventions during
yes,
podcasts.
It's way really, too many of them.
How are you doing, Jeff Bacalar? What episode number is this? That's great.
1705, 6, 7.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So we've done 1700 episodes.
You started way back. I remember George Washington and the
he was our first guest.
First guest, just
yep.
Real big. That was a bad one though.
Yeah, we were super rough around the edges.
You don't get political anymore like you used to.
Nah, those were the good old days.
But in like the middle of that, it's like 20 hours of planes just taking off from LaGuardia. There's no actual like show content.
Right.
It's just like arts.
That was art.
Artsy
that was our art.
Yeah.
We were trying to do art in our own way. And
George left and did Radiolab. That was it was a great time.
They poached him. It burned.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It was a tough burn.
And now here we are, 1706.
Yeah,
seven.
It's been a lovely run.
What's the show about
today?
Yeah,
or are you
in
asking
general.
Like in general?
Yeah, the top line.
It's,
yeah. Give
it's
us the elevator pitch.
The podcast. It's the show about nothing.
That's the show.
You have been doing this a long time. It's like the Cheers of podcasting. It's like the MASH of podcasting. You know, we're kind of about tech, but really we save lives and just goof mm-hmm. off.
It's like it's serious.
That's
too.
True. The problem we've always had explaining what the show is to people is like, if you don't know by now, it's too late. So that's
what?
The yeah. Like if people didn't realize it by
why it can't be somebody's first time here.
No,
yeah.
No. If this is your first time, turn this off.
Why?
Oh my god!
This is the best episode yet.
Oh my god! Turn back! No,
it's amazing. Every episode of Seinfeld starts like that.
It does,
yeah.
And that's how you know you're in on the joke.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Like, I happen to just be next door.
Right. And, you know, I appreciate you taking the time out of your, I mean, let's be honest, clearly busy schedule.
Clearly.
It's very audibly busy.
I'm actually in the other room right now.
You are?
Yeah, it's weird.
We're snaking the wire through the walls. So if everyone ever hears the bleeding audio on our program, it's Vinny's fault.
We've covered that.
Vinny, this is an intervention for you. You guys are too loud.
We are very loud. It's because we're so excited over at CBS Interactive's own giantbomb.com/giantbomb.com.
Who is the loudest of the bunch?
Alex.
Yeah, Alex really gets rowdy.
Alex has a certain sort of like octave in his voice that permeates any non-lead material.
Oh, it's like radiation? You're saying his voice is radioactive?
Yeah.
That's does he really do, nice speaking
of, get you sick.
Speaking of Seinfeld, does he do the thing where when he gets angry, his voice gets very high?
Alex? No.
No,
no, he doesn't.
Like a
do
Jiminy
that.
Glick kind of thing?
I would say Dan's probably the loudest now.
Oh, he's usurped.
I don't know. You guys are all loud and annoying and terrible, I mean, come on.
What do you do here?
What do you mean?
On this show.
Oh, we talk about just random shit.
Okay.
Like, that's what this show was founded on, the notion of friends can talk, and sometimes those conversations are fun to listen to.
Okay.
And
sometimes not.
And sometimes not.
Yeah.
In fact,
that's
the vast majority of
that's
time.
That's why you have thousands of episodes.
Yeah, that's why. It's why we kept doing
you're
this.
You're playing the numbers game.
We're just trying to get one good one.
Can I pause for a quick second?
Of course.
There's an amazingly perpendicular beard hair.
Oh, boy.
Coming out like a foot out of it. Can you see it?
Yep.
Should I try and nail it?
No. So this was the same.
He just had this conversation.
Mustache whisker. Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah, in the elevator. Because
we were talking about
enormous.
Like, I got it.
We were talking about Vinny's unruly. Vinny's unruly. No, you didn't. All you did was curl it.
It's still there.
We're talking about Vinny's unruly mustache hair.
Ready?
Oh no, he's pulling. Now he's yanking
at it. Oh, you're
gonna
bleed out of your face.
No, he's not gonna bleed. What? That's not what happens.
It's deep.
I can't get it.
Yeah, because it's attached to your brain.
You see the top of my head scrunching every time.
Cave in.
Oh, heinous.
You know, having a beard and a kid is tough.
It's no, not it's not.
I got to choose between them.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I heard it. No. I heard it. Oh, I heard it. Okay. I actually heard it.
I think it was a white one, too.
It was.
Yeah, it's an old boy.
He's been there a while.
He's seen some shit.
Oh, don't. Got to call the week. You young whippersnappers don't know. He used to shave all the time.
I've seen some shit.
I've seen some shit. Oh, no.
That's pretty good.
All right. Well, now we're all cleaned up. Ready for your fancy podcast.
I've collected a few stories from around the internet for this week. That Vinny can help us talk about. The first one, it's a very bizarre story. This was one of the most referenced stories on the internet yesterday, on Thursday. Right. It is about, now I...
Fidget spinner.
No, it is about a man. I still don't necessarily believe this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like a couple newspapers got duped into believing this is a real story, but no one has yet to come out and say, no, this is a hoax. So as of now, this is a true story. I mean, this is from WashingtonPost.com.
Okay.
Maybe they've vetted it. I hope they have. It's about a man who was trapped inside of an ATM machine.
Okay.
And was able to pass notes through the receipt slot.
Sure.
In order to call for help.
This sounds fake.
In fact,
yes.
In fact, there's a photograph of said note with scribbles on it that says, "Please help. I'm stuck in here and I don't have my phone. Please call my boss at 210.
No, this is
followed by the number."
Okay, so not only was he stuck inside the ATM machine, he had slips of paper and a pen?
Well, receipt paper. So there was the vending machine would,
right,
the ATM
this
would have.
Out. This checks out. Listen to this paragraph. It's amazing. It had to be a joke, the responding officers believed. A Bank of America ATM spitting emergency notes with cash. I love it, like.
With cash?
Oh, it came out with money.
Wait, how much? Okay, $1.40. All right, here's $1.40 and a note of call for help. Like. So a Bank of America ATM spitting emergency notes with cash and receipts sounded like an absurdly constructed plot of Gotcha live television show.
It certainly does.
But then the machine started talking. Sure enough, we can hear a little voice from the machine.
A little voice? How soundproof do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be secure.
Is the name of this town Corpus Christi?
Yeah. Texas.
Oh, wow.
Texas.
Yeah.
A relatively big town.
An officer kicked down the door to reveal the author of the notes. A man hidden behind the machine
was locked
in the service room that housed the ATM.
See, that's not being locked in an ATM machine.
Well, he's like locked in the wall.
Yeah, he's like in the service room. That's
it's
different.
It's still hilarious.
And why would he? Couldn't you just slide it under the door? I don't know.
Does he not have a cell phone?
It's like a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's part of the note. He's like, I don't have my phone.
Oh.
I don't have my phone. When I went into the ATM machine, I forgot to take my phone in there with me.
And then I locked the door, and then nobody else lives in this bank anymore.
So he had been in there, what, 15 years?
17 years.
Okay, 17
okay, if
years.
You were locked, I guess they'd know you stole all the money. I was going to say,
what
like,
is the
because, like, they know, like, you're the service guy, right?
Right.
Like, so they know, like, hey, all the money's missing from this ATM.
Sure.
That's kind of
and
a bummer.
That's what you're thinking of? Like, oh, guy's in there, might as well rob the joint.
Totally. Did you never? You guys never dream about being inside an ATM machine?
You ever dream about being locked inside of a bank vault?
No.
No.
I saw that Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
It worked out okay.
No, it didn't. It actually did not.
It did until he broke his glasses.
Died, and then
he was happy about that part.
He was.
And then he broke his
there
glasses.
There was time.
All the books.
I've got all the time I need.
With all the time, couldn't you just walk around to eyeglass stores and just like find another place?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how blind was Mr. Bemis?
Amen.
That was his name, Bemis?
I don't know.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Meredith Burgess.
So it turns out it was real.
The Twilight Zone episode was real.
A man hidden behind the machine was locked in the service room that has the ATM. He began scribbling notes to the outside world. I love how this is written, by the way. in an analog version of the Wizard of Oz bellowing from behind a curtain.
You remember that scene from the Wizard of Oz where the wizard's when Dorothy like, help, get me out of here. I don't have my phone.
When Dorothy forgets her pin.
Yeah.
And it's up to the Scarecrow to find out just what it is.
So it didn't occur to me until just now, but I guess when you walk into a bank and there's like a row of ATMs.
Gotta be something behind it.
Well, yeah. And when they repair them, they don't necessarily take the front off. Maybe there is a room that accesses, like a bowling alley.
The only situation I could understand this being is like the drive-up ATM where it's not a regular ATM, but just sort of like a keypad and a wall.
Oh, no, I think Ross is right.
Like, you go into like a Chase, there's six ATMs.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you know, behind all six of them, there's a room.
It's like a huge line of like tellers almost.
But you would think the door would face where all the tellers work and you could just like knock on it repeatedly and someone would come.
Or like you'd think there would be a door handle. Like, why would you lock? Why would you need to lock somebody in?
He did say he was there to repair the door lock.
So it's maybe. Just so.
This is an amazing coincidence of events.
I fixed it. Yeah. Whoops, I'm on the wrong side of it, though.
Oh, boy. First day on the job, huh, Johnny? Well,
it's just so amazing that, like, things got so dire that he was like, good thing you had a pen. I mean, I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying.
Always have a pen.
Always have a pen.
He's just waiting for the thing to spit the money out. He's like, okay, here comes the money. And, here's my note.
Would you goof off? Would you goof off for the first couple of people and then, like, just be like, all right, no, seriously, I'm trapped in here.
Just write, like, you're ugly.
Or just be like, I've been reincarnated as, like, an ATM machine.
It's like that old joke. It's like that old joke my grandfather used to tell me. He would, like, open up a fortune cookie and read a fake message inside the fortune cookie. He'd be like, help! I'm trapped in a fortune cookie factory.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's a funny joke.
That's a funny grandfather joke.
I only use that one with the kids.
Oh, and thus the cycle continues.
This is how legends are born.
This is. Have you ever been trapped in something like where you thought this might take a while?
When I was a kid, I would get my brother would lock me in like a closet and then pull the door handle off. And that was
pull the whole door handle off?
Because it was like, you know, it was like a closet where the door handle was loose anyway, you know, it had like the octagonal rod that would go in and turn the thing.
Yeah, sure.
So you just slide that out, and then it's like you're trapped in this closet for years.
I have a kind of terrible story.
Oh no,
getting locked in somewhere. Can I tell you this? Yeah. This is in Sleepaway Camp. This is 1993. I'm 11 years old.
This is an intervention.
This was the thinking back, it's appalling and shocking that they even offered this activity at the day camp, but we had a rifle range.
Oh, no, that's pretty normal. Like,
why is that so crazy?
Because there's no way it's because that was the last year they did it.
Well, maybe you should finish the story first.
It is.
I'm sure you guys are like shooting 22s and it's like for marksmanship, not like going out and
hunting man.
Bullets are super small. They're super small. Yeah, we weren't doing that. This was really weird. So I was really into it. I liked shooting guns. Mm-hmm. I'm 11. I'm like, I'm going to shoot this more. So what they allowed you to do was basically... this is so weird that I'm talking, but like when I hear it out loud, it just sounds
what
so
happened,
weird.
What happened, Jeff?
So after dinner every night, you can do an elective.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that it was from like 7 to 8:40. You could do whatever you wanted in camp. Mm-hmm. You want to play roller hockey? You go play. I did a lot of that, but every now and then I would go back to the rifle range.
Is it indoor?
No, it's outdoor.
Yeah. Sun's going down. Just
it was lit.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it was lit.
And staffed?
Plus, like 7:40 in the summer, it's bright.
It's pretty bright.
So, if you wanted to do riflery by... Is that the right word? If you wanted to do that by yourself as an elective, you had to buy the bullets.
Like, out of pocket?
Yeah.
You had money?
So, well, I had canteen money.
It was an account, right?
It's an account. So, your parents, like, put money in your account.
It's like you're in prison.
It is exactly that.
You're trading smokes for rifle bullets.
It's like, hey, I got a pack of Kit Kats. Let me get some 22s, right?
Like, hey, Red, I can get you anything you want.
Dude, so you could... So I, at one point, had to go to the canteen.
Yeah.
And 11-year-old Jeff went to a canteen and bought bullets.
Okay.
That's not... Okay. Okay, that's weird to me.
Was it the same canteen that sold Charleston Chew?
Yes, and soda and candy bars.
So you got like a box of 22s.
Yeah. A box of bullets. So I'm going up there, and I went with my friend Josh.
Okay.
And him and I were like, we're gonna shoot guns. No one uses it for an elective. We knew the guy who ran the place. Let's go do it.
And he just stands there for an hour waiting for people to show up?
That you're that's a counselor. That's camp. Right? Like, yeah, if you've ever been a counselor, like, yeah, that's camp. So I'm going up there, and he wasn't there. The counselor wasn't there.
Okay,
but the storage locker
with the rifles
oh, and everything was open.
Okay, God. So now the story is terrible.
It's no one gets hurt. Everyone's fine.
I'm just saying, like, this everything, like, everything
it's
seems
the beginning
cool,
of Predator.
But this is bad. So Josh and I, and there's no phone there. There's nothing. All the counselors used to have walkie talkies, and that's how they talk to each other.
Okay.
But we were like, oh, where the hell is this guy? I think his name was like Nick or something. Like, where's Nick? He said, we want to shoot these guns.
Yeah.
And Josh was like, oh, the storage locker's open.
I am sure Nick was told never, ever leave the storage locker unlocked and unattended.
So we go in the storage locker, and we're just looking around.
Sure.
We want to see, like, what else was in there. Maybe there'd be some food, and we'll just chill out and wait for Nick.
Okay. You've seen too much.
We go in there, and we somehow locked ourselves into the storage locker. And it's getting late, and Nick isn't showing up.
So what time? Okay, so you got in there, it's like 7.
We got in there like 7:10.
7:10, okay.
And 7:50 rolls by, and we're like,
what's in there?
Guns.
Are they like, locked? Are there like gun locks on them?
They had like a wire lock the triggers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're just like, so, but we could shoot. I could put a bullet in a gun and shoot that.
Sure.
But we didn't do that because at 11, you're still like, let's not kill each other by accident.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe learn that at camp.
Was there a moment where you considered shooting the lockout?
Yeah. But at 8, so 8:10 goes by.
Yeah.
And we start to hear a golf cart.
You had watches?
Yeah, we had a
calculator watches. Yeah. Okay,
and we and we had to start screaming, "Help! Yeah, help!
Yeah."
And this thing. So I didn't talk about this, but this trail, this firing range,
I hope is far away.
Was far.
I would hope
away.
So. Yeah,
it was like a 10-minute hike away from cafeteria, and we got rescued. If that guy didn't hear us in the golf cart, we would have been okay. But we might have had to spend a night in this freaking storage that's haunted. And you know,
okay, so
it was bad.
If
was
you
bad.
Had to relive that situation, how long would you wait before trying to shoot the lockout? Because I feel like there are so few circumstances where you might be able to shoot a lockout and have an earnest reason for doing it.
I just feel like
think it would ricochet?
Yeah, like I feel like that's
probably not
been a terrible idea.
Maybe
like,
using a gun butt.
That's probably a better idea. Like, I bet there were tools in there too.
We searched. We opened up every drawer.
Any food?
And the shitty thing about the storage shed, it had one awful like 12-watt light bulb in there that didn't light up the whole. Yeah, it was a murder shed.
So what was it on the outside? Was it one of those like gate things with like the a post that latches? Like, how did the door lock?
Yeah.
I think it like jammed and like we couldn't open it.
Nick comes back. He's like, I had to go get the locksmith. The thing is broken.
When the guy who found us radioed in, they did have to bring keys. I think it was like they obviously had some sort of feature on the door that like locks
it
in. There was a lock for us to open it on the inside too.
Gosh.
So if you had the keys, you couldn't lock yourself in. And yeah, it was terrible. Like we were scared. We were definitely scared for a good half hour. But then like I remember we were saying like, yeah, but like even if we were here overnight, like yeah, the camp will freak out. But like someone's gonna come here tomorrow.
Sure.
There's gonna have like one bunk is gonna have gun range for an activity.
So
like,
here's the funny question for you as a parent or someone. We've all probably been in a similar situation of like.
Yeah.
Do they chew you out for being like, what are you doing? Or are they like, let's all just never talk about how the gun locker was unlocked and nobody was here. You weren't here. We weren't here.
Right.
No.
We never talk about
and
this
you
again.
You won't have to pay for this.
Right. Exactly. Nobody talk about
this. If I recall, I don't remember. They were definitely upset with the guy who was supposed to be there.
Of course.
But they weren't really upset with us. They were just like, oh, you guys did the right thing. they're like, you guys did the right thing by staying locked in there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what would have been funny if once they actually got the door unlocked, you guys had your guns like trained out.
Yeah. Who's there? Who goes there? Who's there? Hands up. Hands up.
Didn't work.
The camp got like overrun by zombies and you guys are locked in like the
it's the right place to be locked.
Yeah. But all you have are 22s. I don't know.
I know. You guys are just going to give him like a headache.
You failed to mention your friend was like marksman like number one in camp, right?
Oh, he's a Navy SEAL now.
Oh, phenomenal.
That's right. He's a Navy SEAL. Yeah. Yeah. Josh grew up to be a hero. What have you ever been locked anywhere before we take a break?
I don't think so. It's been a pretty good life.
Nope. Can't say I've been incarcerated.
So far, so good.
Do you guys remember, like, when you guys are probably old enough to have this? I don't know if it's such a big deal anymore, but don't play in refrigerators.
Oh, like, yeah. No, like industrial refrigerators.
No, well, at the time, it was like any refrigerator.
Inside a refrigerator.
Well, because the old ones used to have that like thing that you pull and
the lock.
Yeah, the big lock.
And it was just like there weren't necessarily shelves. It like fit a human boy perfectly.
They're airtight.
Yeah, you'd run out of air.
Yeah.
Sorry, humans. I sometimes forget.
There's no air coming into a refrigerator.
I mean, I think the compressors circulate cold air, so it.
There's got to be some oxygen coming in by means of.
That's very inefficient for a refrigerator, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, there's existing air.
Right.
But once it's closed, it's not like new air is.
Let's find
out.
Actually, no. How long could you survive in a refrigerator?
Not long.
It'd be a couple hours.
I don't. Well, Indiana Jones, obviously, he can survive a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, we need to ask him.
I think if you breathe shallow, you could last a while.
Oh, that's not. This is like
little baby.
Do you put disclaimers
like,
on this? On this thing?
Don't listen.
don't try this.
Don't listen at home. We're going to take a break. More 404 right after this. Hey, shout out to our sponsor this week, HostGator. If you're a small business owner or you're a first-time blogger like Russ Frushtick, who's never been on the internet before.
Nope, never.
HostGator has all the tools you need to create and host a website, even an online store where you can sell your little wares.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to put it like a stick in its mouth or can you just like reach in?
It's not an actual alligator, Russ, you moron. They've got a drag-and-drop website builder. It's not a reptilian in nature at all.
No, that's much better.
And a mobile-friendly template designer that makes it easy to create great-looking websites and, most importantly, super fast. There's 24/7 live expert support. Not to mention, if you ever need a boost in hosting power, HostGator offers cloud VPS and dedicated server hosting that can easily handle all the millions of users that you're going to get on your website. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing to lose. Right now, we're giving our listeners 60% off. That's 60. That is a lot. Go to HostGator.com/CNET
to get started. Back to the program.
With your 60% off.
Okay, let's pivot
today.
Off of being locked into awful, strange situations. And
pretend like you're being locked into awful, strange situations with a headset.
The best way to do it.
Or just pretend you're Facebook locked into an awful situation of having to justify your VR investment.
Yeah, that
$2 billion
like
has got to go somewhere.
The most uncomfortable of all these scenarios.
Oh.
VR is in a weird place right now, and Facebook has... they haven't announced plans, but Bloomberg did report that they are planning to unveil a $200 wireless Oculus VR headset sometime next year.
Yeah.
No. So, Russ, you're shaking your head.
It's not going to work out for them.
Well, so here's, you know, we talked a little bit about this on the Beastcast yesterday, and we were talking about how VR is in a very strange place right now, and a lot of the current incarnations, your HTC Vives, your Oculus Rifts, are basically more or less, I don't want to call them glorified prototypes, but that's kind of what they are, because a lot of people, they're a big turnoff.
Yes.
They're uber expensive.
Totally agree.
Super cumbersome, complicated, intimidating, expensive.
The hardware, I don't think, feels like a prototype for what it's worth.
Fine. But like, they're still
clunky.
But I agree,
the process is very
clunky. Then the experience is all over the place.
Right. And it's
very inconsistent.
It's a huge range of emotion in there. And you don't realize, like, you know, there's no sort of... There's no universality to it all. It's
even
just...
the PlayStation VR, which I would say is the most accessible of them, is still like a shitload of wires. Like,
it is.
It's like a lot to set that thing
and
up.
And that's the easiest to do out of all of them, as far as I'm concerned. So I think...
Like, minus like, what's it called? The
Just like a Gear VR.
Sure.
Yeah, or like cardboard.
Cardboard,
yeah.
Google.
And that sort of goes to what they're doing, sort
right.
of.
Right. So like, obviously the goal at the end of all this is to get VR in a place where it's not awful to set up.
Yeah.
And you can almost see like they're playing this game of like, hurry up and get to the good part.
Yeah.
Where like VR is not this terrible experience, you know, behind and in front of the mask. So maybe that's what we're getting at. That's what we're starting to find out. But in reality, how could this work? How could this be a
thing? Did we describe it yet?
No, we said $200.
No, I'm saying like the whole concept
like their bullet
points. This new thing. I don't think we've described that
part yet. No, so we're talking wireless.
Yep.
We're talking $200. Mm-hmm. We're talking no need.
The language is a little ambiguous.
It is a little vague. It's a little dubious. But they're saying while it's being used, it won't need to be connected to a PC. Right.
They're at least implying that.
Yeah. They're implying that. And that's a huge sort of
So what that sounds like is that all of the processing and the screen and the everything is happening on the device itself.
Right.
Baked in, right? And, There's no other way I can imagine.
Right. It can't be streaming. We've talked about the streaming stuff. The streaming stuff is too sensitive to latency.
Right.
Yeah, unless
because you can't have something
you lag out and you'll faint.
This will be a puke mask.
I know. Like, I know. Unless they've figured it out, like unless they have figured out a way, and it's like
you think they're there. You think they're like, oh shit.
I don't know.
Was Windows 95.
Two minds because like one is the processing power to put these at high enough resolutions at a refresh rate that makes sense to not throw up. Is intense, like as we've seen, like it's hard to do, and like look, that's why we have so many wires and they're all tethered and wired into.
But that's the processing power for the highest of the high end.
Well, even like
VR,
PSVR, right? Which is like maybe not the highest end, still has to piggyback on the Pro, right?
Yes,
sure.
And like you know, it's and so like that's kind of intense. But they're trying to do it.
So I think
phones can do it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like I think there are if you scale the experience for the hardware. There are VR experiences that are very cool and very impactful, and maybe the graphics are the equivalent of like a super hot, like a very like low poly thing, but it's still like an amazing experience. But you just like work with that in mind, so you don't try to do an underwater swimming adventure or whatever. So I
games where it's raining.
That's where I think you could possibly scale it.
But even the daydream stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're having trouble moving that too.
Yeah.
And that is kind of in line with where they're going. I mean, unless there's some real magic, you know, charm that goes along with it.
Should we call this what it is, really?
Sure.
I mean,
it's bullshit? No.
No, it's a $200 VR porn box.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's going to have like Naughty America branding on it.
Like, isn't that
the God,
we
genius.
All know porn drives every piece of
tech. That's very true.
I mean, it is a cliche, but it's like half true.
It's mostly true.
Video streaming technology.
Name a piece of technology you have that you haven't at least wanted to watch porn on.
Well, that I can't argue with.
So, like, I bet this is like, hey, I'm going to get this to check out what the New York Times 360 video is going to about, you know, Syria is all about. And then, like, where are you, Dad? Don't come in here.
Of course. We all know the second any product gets put on in front of a board member meeting, the first question comes from someone, can we fuck it? I understand that, but can we fuck that?
Damn it, Gerald.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you can fuck this.
Sure, why not? Sure.
Hi, I've been locked in a fridge for 40 years. All I want to do is fuck something.
It's true. It's question one.
Yeah.
It almost goes without saying.
But like that's kind of what I thought of when I saw this was like, oh, okay, you want to get this thing out to the masses. Like, sure, you're going to have music videos that are 360 or like, you know, those 360 cameras. You're going to have this and that. And that led me down the path of like, oh, what am I talking about? This is going to be... You're going to get this, and like a lot of people are going to watch pornography.
So you're right. Maybe, and again, we can maybe sidestep around pornography for a minute, but you know, maybe this is just like a video thing. Like maybe this isn't the gaming element,
like, no. Or like houses, like virtual tours.
Yeah,
and
maybe
all that
that's
stuff.
What this
nah,
is.
Man, no one's gonna
nah,
buy.
Man, nobody wants to buy that. No, man.
That's good, actually. That sounds like me. No, I should do the whole rest of the show
that. No, this is just you. Like, nah, man. People don't want to do that for that, man. Come on, man. All right, Joe Dirt, what else do you know?
No, the chance.
Man.
You mentioned, what was it, Google Dream, whatever the hell.
Daydream.
Yeah. And I honestly think that is the best possible chance that you have at getting people to do VR because it's cheap and it uses a device you already own.
Okay.
And why would people spend $200 if they're like, well, I can do this on Google Cardboard for $10?
It would need to have like some kind of exclusivity on it.
Exclusivity. Yeah, yeah. Something. Like,
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it will have onboard storage and allow you to like download a movie to it. And I don't know.
Like 3D glasses didn't work out for TVs. Like
yeah.
Peripherals, I feel like on the consumer end for like multimedia peripheral, like I feel like those don't really work out that well. I'm trying to think of one that kind of did surround sound speakers. I don't know.
Like, yeah, that stuck around.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the whole thing because to me,
I want it to succeed.
Oh, totally.
You know what's really cool about this, though? It does allow you to put VR on a dog.
A what?
And have them run around.
Nah, man, you don't want a dog in VR, man. What do you mean?
Don't you think that'd be dope?
What, Russ?
Well, so I realize it would be immoral to raise a baby wearing VR its whole life.
Obviously.
And I'm a dog lover, so don't get me wrong. But in the interest of science, don't you think there's a scientific interest in having a single creature only live in VR exclusively?
Oh, from birth?
Yeah, from birth.
That, I don't know, man. You're getting into some weird...
I mean, it's
weird,
bad.
That's amazing.
You're getting some morally gray areas here.
I would also say, like, what if all the programs that you're running are, like, you know, lots of bones and treats and stuff?
Yeah, but this is still some, like, weird black site stuff. That,
yeah,
like,
this is you're Black the Mirror
bad,
shit.
You're the bad guy in a video game where I have to go, like, break out these dogs or something.
This is a Black Mirror episode?
This is a Black Mirror episode. But if you, I'll play along with your awful friggin' idea.
How would you put it on the dog?
Exactly.
That's easy.
No, that's not what would happen.
It's a headset. A dog has a head. If they have a snout,
it's like hard.
Let's for a second suspend our disbelief of this whole thing and imagine you could do this where the dog would not know that it's wearing a headset.
Okay. Maybe, let me change it slightly.
Okay.
Cow. A cow instead.
Of course.
So instead,
a cow, you could do whatever to.
Well, but instead of chopping its head off and eating it, you're just going to let it live in.
But
VR.
Like, what is the point of that?
Well, so what if you did this? What if you put? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
This would. All right, I'm with you on this black side experiment. Okay. Like, this is like dark money that we're like off on.
Like, we need to do this.
If you put the VR on a calf from birth, but pretend it's a pig, and surround it with other pigs,
it will act like a pig.
Will it act like a pig? Yes. And will it taste like bacon?
Of course. Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's going to taste like bacon.
Well, in The Matrix, the mind makes it true. So,
like, I know this steak is nothing but a bunch of zeros and ones.
So, like, if you pretend it's a human, like, where this cow has a life of, like, oh my gosh, I lived like 40, like that Picard episode where he like gets the flute and like learns the flute and the whole thing. Yeah, like if you do that to the cow where he's like, I've had this whole life, I was a doctor, and then you take it off and then you're just like, you're a cow.
You're a cow.
Rick and Morty did a very good episode that was essentially that, so I don't want to steal any thunder from them either.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
But
you're
maybe, specifically you live an entire life in VR and you take your head off when you die.
So. Oh, right. Well, isn't it like the Joe game or something?
It's like Vanilla Sky.
Exactly like Vanilla Sky.
I think, but if we're being serious about what that would be like for a second, like if your reality is real, you don't know. Like,
you have no
frame
of reference.
It doesn't matter.
Right. So it's fascinating. It'd be tough to keep the computer running for that long.
I mean, it would be.
Or the battery.
It would be.
You need some remote charging.
But
something.
Like,
what if you just ran it at double speed? Like, if you're in VR from the get-go, from the jump, how do you know that's just not how fast
and
things go?
That might be how you make, like, the Flash in real life.
Oh, well, but that person
like reaction time
twice as slowly.
So from birth,
they would be adjusted to super hyper speed.
Isn't that the great tragedy of the Flash? Is he's like everything's so slow.
Yeah, he's bummed by that.
He's like super bummed by the world being
Lord of the Rings is
speed.
Like 30 hours long.
That's like 7 days for him.
What is it? That's the other guy too. Quicksilver is
sure.
Yeah, they're the
fast,
same.
Fast man.
Fast person.
You know, like come on. That's dark and tragic.
What can I say? That's how I roll.
By the way. Should we take the goggles off, Jeff?
Whoa.
Yeah. You're a cow.
That's what you look like to me. So, all right. Let's reel it back a little bit.
No human has a beard hair that long. I should have known. It's like the sweat and Total Recall.
In my goggles, you were just pulling out a jellyfish. It's weird. You know.
I hope it works. VR needs this.
VR really needs
a huge adrenaline shot. Oculus Rift and the Touch Bundle.
Oh, surprise.
Are discounted
for
$400, and that's going to be the case for another couple of weeks.
Oh, well, it's not a permanent
discount.
It's
going to go back
discount?
Up.
It's not. It's going to go back.
That's
up
crazy.
To five.
That's fucking crazy. That's crazy.
That is a little crazy.
It's okay. You can say it's crazy, but that's what they're doing. Like the.
Like,
you know,
is that going to, like, I could see it maybe increasing demand a little bit, but, like, the second it goes back up, who's going to, like, buy? I mean, I don't know.
I think maybe you say that so that people think, well, I better buy it now.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, then they just never really increase it.
And they never bring it back.
It's like in their Amazon wish list forever.
Like, okay.
It's like how they're never going to sell an NES Classic again. But
right.
Dude.
Maybe. Do you think
yes.
they are currently making new Oculus Rift headsets?
I think they're working on Revision 2.
Yeah. And is that this wireless thing?
No.
Because they have an event in the fall planned.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, maybe they're switching gears to be like, okay, high-end VR is a dead end right now. We need to hit accessible mm-hmm. commercial, like mom and pop VR.
Yeah.
Because like the high-end VR stuff, the software is not coming there. We're not getting the support we need. But like a person who wants to like virtually visit Venice, like that's where we need to start.
Do QuickBooks.
Yeah, in VR.
You got to give Sony some credit.
Why?
I really think what they kind of pulled off is amazing.
Pretty well.
Like, not only were they able to like kind of shoehorn VR mm-hmm. into their current ecosystem, which seemingly had no plan for it whatsoever 6 years ago, right?
I mean, they also made a new console in between, but
they
did,
like they were able to repurpose all the Move controllers. Like, there's no way the Move stuff was
bizarre.
Out when that came out. They're like, in 10
the Move
years.
Still uses mini USB, which is like something that no one's used
that's
in 5
proof,
years.
The proof's right there, right? Like it's kind of an unbelievable achievement what they did there. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this video from South Korea.
What
for a second?
Oh, buddy.
All right, we'll do the other one first.
Okay, good.
Here is a story about a certain kind of animal.
Kiwi. Is that a tardigrade?
Yes. How'd you know about that?
Because I listened to Adventure Zone.
Oh, what, is that on Adventure?
They fought one once, I think.
But they're microscopic.
Well, it was a really big one.
So, okay, they're called tardigrades?
Maybe.
Tardigrades.
They are also known as the water bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water bear.
Because they resemble kind of like a goofy bear.
I mean, with like a hell of legs. Like, that's a hell of a lot of legs.
It's kind
of,
it's for like a microscopic
it's
bug.
It's cuter than you think
it is.
It
it's cute.
No,
it's cute.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
And they live in vents, right? Is that these guys?
I think they
that
live in anywhere.
They live
in like volcano
water.
Vents.
Oh, they
right,
live
like
in
undersea, like, thermal vents.
Yeah. The most amazing thing about these little MRFers is that they can basically survive in the most
extremophile. That's what they call them.
Extreme conditions. Earth is capable of producing like -272 degrees Celsius, which by the way is just 1 degree warmer than absolute zero.
That's pretty extreme.
That's like looking at the end of extremities. Like that's where you're at, and these things can survive it. And
Then is it like if you go below that, they die?
Well, absolute zero.
Nobody knows. Below that. Yeah.
Nope,
is
there's
it theoretical?
No way to test it.
As I understand it, absolute zero cells and
stop
everything
moving.
Stop moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty tough.
Get the water bear just chugging along in the stream.
Is it a theoretical thing, absolute zero?
No,
no,
it's a real thing.
It's real. Yeah.
But we can't reach it because the world would fold in on itself.
Yeah, probably. Dr. Marty would come back. I don't know. Maybe you can. Someone can write in. Other species can endure powerful radiation in the vacuum of space. In 2007, the European Space Agency sent 3,000 animals into low Earth orbit. The tardigrades survived for 12 days on the outside of the capsule.
Oh, that's a real morbid experiment.
Like, they were in the vast emptiness, this awful terror of space.
But they all had VR
space.
Helmets on, so it was fine.
And they
survived that little spacesuits
for almost 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
But then, like, why not... Like, did they come back and they were alive, or they were like, tardigrades died. It's what day is it? 15? Let's check the, got bad news.
Rip. Guess what? When the tardigrades died, it's time to start worrying.
Yeah.
Did you say 3,000?
What?
How many different animals did they spend?
Yeah, they
up there?
Sent
3,000.
Which is like a thumbnail.
Don't forget, like, a tardigrade is technically an animal, even though you can't see it with the naked eye.
Oh, so it's not like a giraffe strapped to the side.
Well, Larry lasted 6 seconds. That was terrible.
Let's not do this experiment again.
This is the worst thing NASA has ever done.
Who thought of this one?
Is all, that, all these dead animals strapped
just
to
elephants
a
and like.
It's like,
what do you think was? I don't know. This is science. We have to prove things.
Look, science is not. It's ugly. Science can be ugly.
Science can be ugly, guys. Remember when we did the Cal VR thing? That didn't turn out well.
Look, he thinks he's a pig. Oh man, the tardigrade lineage is ancient. Tardigrade microfossils are reported From the early Cambrian to the early Cretaceous, you're talking 520 to 100 million years ago.
What are they doing for anyone? Are they helping anyone out?
But maybe they are.
Like, they disappear?
I don't know what they do.
Do people eat them?
Well, look, you need all these micro organisms to manage skin cells and stuff on your body. Like, there's a lot of shit that these little guys do.
How big are they?
They're microscopic.
What is that? Yeah, that could be anything.
I don't know. Like, and that's an animal? 1,000th of a millimeter.
I don't think
that's
an animal.
It's an animal.
What's the definition of
you're
animal?
Just talking about relativity, though.
Shut up. What's the definition of animal?
It's pretty defined. I think there's a whole...
Yeah. Okay, so what is
it? It's a breathing organism.
It's a reproduce...
Not breathing. It's...
It has to reproduce, has to ambulate or like move, right?
It has to reproduce and move, fine.
Okay, what? So anything that reproduces
Well, what about a virus? That's not an animal.
It's not an animal, but it's alive.
They're the kingdoms. There's animal kingdom.
Yeah, I'm curious what the differentiator is.
I think there was a... At some point, I feel like they changed.
There's some classification for like strep. Like, I'm sure that, you know,
protozoa one.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. I just, when I saw
where
this.
Where is the dividing line between like that kind of animal and like a legit, like real animal?
Like a lizard?
like let's
like
be
where
straight.
Do you separate tardigrades from lizards?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
it's down just, on the, like, you know, it's probably on the King Philip crossover, like, five great seas. So it's probably on the, like.
But it's, you know, if you were to shrink Philip. You down to it, it would very much seem and feel and touch like an animal. Mm-hmm. Like, you, right?
Are you high?
What?
Are we talking about shrinking down to?
Yeah, but like, I'm just saying, if
I've seen
able to
Honey,
enter,
I Shrunk the Kids. Yes,
if we were right. Yeah. But like, if we were, I mean, they're complicated
if I were, like,
organisms.
Ant-Man down into the size of a tardigrade, sure. But like, I don't know, maybe, I guess, I don't know.
It's all relative.
If you made one the size of a human, would probably just die, like a whale does, like if you put it on land because of gravity.
Oh, okay.
It's like insides would collapse. Yeah, like,
is that why whales die when you put them on land? I thought they just start
breathe.
No water.
I think they're.
They can breathe.
I think they can't support their own body weight.
They can breathe because they breathe air, but I think their skin needs to be wet also.
I think they dry out, but I also think they're they don't have a skeletal structure that can support them outside of water.
So how long can you keep them outside of water?
Oh, you are just a mad scientist. The way you said that was horrifying.
Because in the movie Free Willy, they definitely drive him quite a ways to get to the ocean in that like hanging thing.
Oh, but he's suspended.
He's suspended, but so what? That doesn't prevent his organs.
Gravity works differently.
Fascinating.
I feel like tardigrades were like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
oh, were they?
They're done.
Are they out of vogue?
I feel like they're out of vogue.
Yeah, they're done, man.
Shit.
Yeah.
I missed that tardigrade boat.
Yeah. You're getting a little late on
some of
the bandwagon
here. I didn't get
the
email on that one. No one told me. Didn't get a calendar notification. Didn't get anything.
No.
Didn't get an ELO notification. Nothing like that.
ELO.
Yeah, thank you.
Damn. Oh, my joke's lost. All right. Speaking of sea life, this is such a freaking weird story, too. Oh my God, I saw this and I was like, how did this happen?
This is a weird animal fact.
On Thursday afternoon, there's a photo of a car that made the rounds on Twitter where a massive stream of what looked like just straight up like goo and snot.
Okay. Basically the stuff from Ghostbusters 2.
It looked terrible. It looked like a car was basically like melting.
Okay.
What happened was 7,500 pounds of eel slime drenched the car. To the point where it looked like it burned through. But it turned out it was Pacific hagfish.
Oh.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a... It's
what
a,
wait, is, so
it,
it what in, is this podcast?
It was in,
it's weird, right?
Yeah, we go places.
We go
you
places. Are the E-Bombs world it's of a podcasts.
It's a primitive... Shut up. It's a primitive jawless fish that are sometimes called slime eels for the mind-boggling quantities of goo they produce when they feel threatened. Mm-hmm. Like, say, when a truck transporting them tips over in a 5-car crash.
Is that what happened to this?
Yes. 7,500 pounds of hagfish is sloshed over an Oregon roadway.
Amazing.
And it drenched nearby cars where they all, you know, like when a squid like squirts, like an octopus, that's what they did on this car.
Like they freaked out?
They slimed the car.
And then did they survive?
You really want to know about the state of the hagfish?
Yeah, you haven't asked about the people yet.
The primitive jaw. Guess what? I just killed 40 billion turdidites. What are they called?
It's a turdidite. I want to hear about your bathroom activities.
Yeah, it's super gross.
You know, I've seen these where people hold them and they just slime all over their hands.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Why would they do that?
They excrete the slime. Like,
I don't want to kink shame, but why would they do that?
All right.
It's so gross.
Hey, listen.
That's heinous.
This is the world we live in, man.
It's weird.
Why is there a bulldozer?
It's just, you gotta scoop, move away.
You gotta scoop up. Yeah. It. What's the best way to scoop up slime?
The world's biggest spatula wasn't available.
So people eat these?
Yeah. I guess they eat them.
Ugh. No. Yeah. Why? No.
People eat anything.
Heinous.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Where did this happen?
Portland?
Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's so funny, though, to think about, like, yeah, I guess things need to be transported, and once in a while, like, those weird things are going to, like, fall over. Like, somewhere there's a truck full of dildos, right?
Sure.
And that's going to get into an accident, and we're going to see a video of, like, cars covered in, like giant phalluses and stuff like that, and be like, what happened here?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
There was a molasses, I think it was a truck or a factory.
It was in Boston, I think, yeah.
Like, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And it killed like a lot of people. A ton of people.
Yeah. Because it was, like, lava.
Yeah.
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 Thanks for taking it. No one died here, Russ. The hagfish survived.
No, they didn't. They were dead.
No, the hagfish didn't kill anybody. In Oregon.
That is true.
Finally, I want to talk about this video I was forced to watch this morning, but then wound up being kind of...
What was the context of you being forced to watch
someone
this
said,
movie?
You got to check this video
out.
Okay,
fine.
And
now you're going to share that misery with all of us.
No, but then I wound up being kind of fascinated by the whole thing. Okay. There is... The YouTube title is South Korea Has the Most Ingenious Method for Unclogging a Toilet.
And we should mention the thumbnail that we're staring at right now is just like...
It's like a mix of vomit and poop in a toilet.
Yeah, the most heinous toilet situation.
So they try to simulate what would clog a toilet.
Somebody's just throwing a mummy into a toilet. What is going on? Like a mummy is changing out of its like bandages.
Right, so they basically...
I can't wash this.
It's full.
Okay. Look, so it's
like
a simulation.
They could have used water.
It's a simulation, guys.
I get it.
Right?
So
here's what they do. They put on this sticker.
Yeah.
It's essentially this airtight sticker that covers the entire perimeter of the bowl.
It turns it into like a Tupperware.
Right. It turns it
and then you take that bowl and throw it out launch it into space.
What you do is you then, once you have that airtight seal, watch what happens. You flush, creates a vacuum, and then you manually shove the clog down using the bubble that was created from the flush, and that's how they unclog a toilet.
Why is this the most ingenious way? I'll tell you what's a good way. First of all, don't fucking put loose leaf binder down your toilet.
But that's not... You've never clogged a toilet?
I have totally clogged the toilet.
I do it still a lot.
Do you have a plunger?
Yes.
Do you still have a clogged toilet?
No.
You're done.
But guess what? When I'm done with the plunger, I have this like dripping, oozing, disgusting thing.
This you could just toss.
This you just throw out.
I don't know. I'm not.
No, come on.
Okay. So you push on it, and it creates enough suction, I guess, to push it down.
Well, because that's all a plunger does is like push air.
I understand.
Down, right. So this is
basically what percentage of times when you're pushing on it with all your weight that your arm just bursts through,
and you nail your face on the side of the bowl.
Like, here are two things that they don't show in this video.
Yeah.
Thing one, they never flush the toilet to clog it, right? So that means what happens when you flush the toilet and it clogs, right? It overflows.
No.
Not explosively.
You don't get there.
Well, you usually get there.
Keep flushing.
Yeah.
That's the second flush.
Right.
The first flush, you get a little
warning.
Yeah, but you get a little warning, but then you roll the dice, right? You're like,
But this sticker will prevent any leakage. It's an airtight sticker.
So what happens when the water starts filling it up?
No, you don't flush the second time.
Yeah, you don't flush.
You just like bring out the sticker.
You have to have water in the bowl for it to go down.
There is water. You're saying it's filled 90% of the way at this point.
So how did you get the rest of that water in there?
What rest?
Because like when you fill,
I understand what you're saying.
You do the flush, right?
Oh, right.
And it's like, all right, you've got a partial
filling
clog.
Up.
Well, you got a partial clog. Sure. Some of the water went down.
What you're asking is, at what point do you apply the sticker then, essentially? Because if you flushed once and that proves that it's clogged.
Yeah. By raising the water level up.
Right.
Right.
The second flush will tip you over.
Yeah, because the way a toilet works is it has to have enough water in the bowl
to push it through
water to automatically flush without you. That's how the gravity works. Right.
But I think by pushing it, doesn't that sort of replace what the water was doing?
I think what it's doing is it's basically emulating like heavier water.
Maybe. Right, you're getting through the U-bend by using the force of the
see, you wound up having a nice
like
engineering conversation about this when you thought it was going to be all about poopy. Now it's interesting and you care, and now you care.
So I've got a couple questions. One, can I buy them in bulk on Amazon?
I'm pretty sure.
What would I search for?
You know, plunger stickers.
Dude, do you have to touch the rim of the toilet bowl?
It's your toilet bowl.
Yeah, I still want to touch it. No, it's okay.
Wow.
It's your toilet bowl.
Yeah. I guess I can wipe it down.
You have two children.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's fine. You've touched worse.
I have touched worse.
On your home toilet, do you like put a covering down when you sit? Yeah, are you that crazy?
Well, it's not a reusable one. I have a thing about like the porcelain rims of toilet bowls.
You want to be grossed out now? Who are the people that put those like shag carpeting around?
Oh, why?
The grossest.
Why? Around the bottom yeah, like floor? The, on
no,
the floor?
No. Well, on the rim.
Wait, no one does that.
Yeah.
No, Russ, it's never.
Like a cushion.
The cover.
They'll also put them on the seat, but I've never seen it.
That's what I mean, on the seat.
Oh, I'm talking raw rim.
No, on the seat.
Oh, raw rim is always porcelain, baby.
What I'm saying. That's the thing I don't want to touch.
But on the seat, it's never shag.
That part's never
shag.
That
seat is getting like everything that billows up when you flush the toilet. Is just
I've
like
never seen the shag on the movable seat.
I've seen that. Yeah,
it's gross.
On the hole?
Yeah.
On the
seat and with the hole? Cushioned.
I've seen the cushion.
But that'll like absorb all that grossness too.
If you get it like a, you know, sort of like nylon. No,
I mean, this is neat. I'd like to see it in practice more. I'm not buying it from their infomercial.
I want to try it.
Not try it.
I've seen like, that before.
Think about it. Those should be in public restrooms.
No.
No?
Maybe.
I'll bet that's how most, like at an airport, that's probably how they do the cogs.
Or at a hotel.
That's
got to
be the fastest.
I feel like I've never seen them in the cart or anything. I see a plunger.
Do you look in that cart a lot?
Always. That's my first
time. Always taking a peek.
Every time I go to a new city, first thing I do is after I get off the plane, look in the janitorial closet.
What are they dealing with here?
South Korea, you said?
Yeah, South Korea.
They've got better, Japan has very good bathroom tech. South Korea, clearly. Like, what? How did that happen?
I don't know. Go on.
Well, Japan has magic toilets that sing to you and shoot water and play.
You're talking about bidets?
No, they've got like the seats, the all-in-ones.
Super toilets.
That clean themselves.
And they're warmed. They play music. You've never seen Japanese super toilet?
It's got background noise so people don't know when you're doing your business.
I just don't want my butt to get jealous.
I think it was in the Simpsons episode where they go to Japan.
You can buy them here.
Yeah. They're just
you get them installed
expensive.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Add-ons.
Well worth it.
I know people have had them. They're great.
It's a good investment.
You ever clog a hotel bathroom?
That's a shame.
And what do you do? I kind of just...
You could check in. You go to a different room.
No,
you got to leave.
I call. So here's what I do.
Oh, no.
I did it at E3. Oh. I feel bad. Oh,
Jeff, just flush after a few times.
I know.
You don't need to do the whole roll.
So you know what I did? I call them up and I go, hey, something's wrong with my toilet.
Something is wrong.
You're right.
I'm not lying. And they'd be like, okay, someone will be up there in a minute. And I just leave.
You're
gone for 3 hours and then you come back. Yeah. It's fixed.
And I come back, it's fixed.
You leave like $5.
Magic.
$5 on the rim.
I come back and I'm like, ta-da.
Oh, look, this got fixed. Let's never talk about this again.
I haven't clogged a toilet in, no joke, like 5 years.
Knock on wood.
You're not a big boy.
You think that's it? It's just my size?
Your frame.
I think it's my strategy. You're just
a generous flusher.
I use a lot of water. Yeah.
So you just waste an insane amount of water.
Every
flush is 3 gallons.
You can fill the tank less.
No, what are we? Come
on. Maniacs?
We're in trouble. We're not that much in trouble. Vinny Caravella, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I've learned so much.
Did you have fun today?
That toilet thing is kind of neat.
Yeah,
it's neat.
It's cool. Oh, my.
Teaching everyone.
Yeah, I would totally check that out. They're not recyclable, right?
But don't worry about it. You're going home with 10 of them right now.
Under your chair.
And a bag of tardigrades.
Oh, you don't worry. Those are for free.
Oh,
you,
nice.
You brought them in yourself.
Nah, tardigrades are cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
super
me.
Rad. My pleasure. Go check Vinny out on CBSinteractive.com.
Yeah, I'm on the Giant Beast cast. It's a great show.
It's pretty good. Russ Frushtick.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Where should everyone check out? What do you have coming up next?
Russ Frushtick on Twitter. I plugged the music video. It's actually up now.
Yeah, so have you seen this?
No. You guys did a music video?
Russ did.
Yeah, from Super Mario Odyssey. If you search A Bad Day in New Donk City on YouTube, it should come up.
Did I tell you Stacey's reaction?
You said she laughed a lot.
She, like, the laugh where, like, her hand was covering her mouth the whole time, like, oh my God.
Wait, are you guys performing
in
scenes? I
don't think I should preface it.
Okay.
No, just go watch it. Just go watch
it. Bad Day in New Donk City.
It goes places.
It does. Okay.
It goes places you don't think it's going to go.
Okay.
Yes.
So good stuff with that and Awful Squad and all that.
And Awful Squad as well, yes.
You guys have competing PUBG shows. We do.
It's weird.
Are you guys branded as well, or are you just...
Well, we call it Murder Island.
Oh, yeah. So you're branded. That's a brand. Yeah, do you have a logo? You logo treatment?
We did. We did.
You sold t-shirts.
I actually really like the work Dan Auer did on it. He's a designer. Who did it. Yeah, I like it a lot. Good.
It is fun. Yeah, and Waypoint has their own...
Oh, I thought we were the only two streaming it.
Weird. Yeah, no one else. There's no one else.
No one's really doing it. We're really on the pulse.
You guys know it's hot.
I think Waypoint didn't get their chicken dinner, though.
They haven't?
I think they got it off stream, though, I think.
Aren't they literally having a chicken dinner with PlayerUnknown? I saw that on Twitter.
Oh, that's smart.
It's an interesting way to bypass it.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, much easier.
I think they did get it off stream, though, Patrick and Austin. Yeah.
I've yet to get my chicken dinner.
We keep creating rules for ourselves that make it way, way harder to actually succeed. So.
It's a fun game.
It's fun. There's a lot of cool shit you can do.
It's a PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for people who don't.
PUBG.
PUBG. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, gentlemen. We will be back next week with a brand new show. Until then, see you later. Hey, another shout out to HostGator. Don't forget, you can take your website from dream to reality with HostGator, their drag and drop website builder, and 24/7 live support make it easy to get your site up and running really fast. There's free website transfers, so if you're coming from another host, don't worry about that. Plus, that 45-day money-back guarantee is something to get excited about. Right now, 404 listeners are going to get 60% off. Just go to HostGator.com/CNET and get that 60% off. Right now.